Look about Kuf Amanali. We just finished discussing why it is that we would call Yocheved a bat, despite the fact that she was a rather advanced age. And we learned that Benot Lafkad actually had married also at a very late age, because they too were Zohar for the same age as Yocheved was, even though that they had permission, as we'll see later on, to marry to whomever they wished. But they decided to wait, and they were after 40 by the time they waited. Very interesting. This correlates to contemporary data about reproductive capability. So that once, although you may be able to continue having children if you start having children at a young age, you wait till 40. It's very interesting. That is the age that is today. Just about it was just an article about it, a major article about it in some of the magazines. Because people think that the reproductive technology helps them to have babies whenever they want. They can continue putting off having babies. Once you hit 40, it's almost impossible. Well, that's exactly what the Gemara says. If you don't start reproducing by 40, a woman, then she doesn't have much of a chance. Okay, so we were up to the first large line on Daf Kuchas. And the last thing we had read was the Chazar HaYofi in the Komo. Now we continue on with the drasha about Yocheved. So we started off with the pasuk of Vayelech Ish Mibeit Levi Vayikach Et Bat Levi. We once knew why she was a bat. But meanwhile, now that we've determined who she is, and we understand that the truth is that she had been married long before, because we know that already Aaron and Miriam, when you push this off so I can get to see you unless I throw all the way around. Aaron and Miriam had already been born from the previous relationship that she had had with Amram. And if it says Vayikach, it's mashma that this was sort of the first time that he's taking her. And how could that be? I mean, obviously, they had been married. Vayikach Zorni Boy, they just simply say that he took her back, not that he Vayikach, that he married her. This means that he actually made a wedding. In other words, this wasn't just a question of whether we should continue to relate to each other maritally. It was a question of the entire function of the relationship. And having listened to Miriam, there was a decision that they were going to excitedly explore the possibilities for a Jewish future. And therefore they did it with tremendous simcha. Melamech ha-salam ha-salakufin ho-shiva ba-piryon. He put her in a palanquin, which was the minig at the time. The Aharon u-Miriam mishorerim lefaneha. And they sang, they had the children that were singing, because they knew that was the neviyut of Miriam, that atida imi loholid ben shiyoshia at Yisrael. And so they were singing, and the Malachi Asharet came as well to participate in the simcha, and they would say im habanim smecha, that the mother is smecha now together with her children at the wedding. It's a very unusual situation. So now the question is, why do we have two completely different lists of the Benot Slavchad? They're in different orders. Because by the wedding, it says Machlat Yisrach Oblad Milchav Noah, and that's a completely different organization than the topic that we were talking about before, which is when they were coming to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and when they went in Mitzvah Ha'idah, and so on. Why does it list them differently? This seems to be Mitzayeh Alei L'Rabbiyan. Seems to be a proof to Rabbani's contention. You know, Rabbani said, in fact, there are two completely different ways of relating to people depending on the context. So if you're talking about the yeshiva, you're talking about a yeshiva. Maybe not literally a yeshiva. In other words, yeshiva where you're sitting down for a conference, for a meeting, for a discussion, for some element that revolves around intellectual capacity. So if that's what you're involved in, halacha chokhma, and the question of who goes first, and who speaks first, and who is granted honors, and so on, there you go according to the level of the chokhma. Whereas the misiba, where you're talking about partying, you're banqueting, at a banquet, you go not according to chokhma. I mean, that's not the place of chokhma. Over there, it's age before beauty. We're calling the smart beauty here, of course, because of the pasuk says, "Yes, yes, yitzar mibnei adam." Talking about the tzitzak hen mitzvotecha, tamir echachomim. In any event, this might have been a tzvachat seems to be saying precisely that. This is when they were talking about and they were standing in front of the yeshiva, which we learned yesterday that they went in the middle of Moshe Rabbeinu's Russia and so on. So over there it lists them in one order, which was clearly the order of their chokmah. So we're talking about the marriage, so that's a banquet, so to speak. So in terms of these things, kind of talked about them by age. Ravashi says this ruling is not quite. It's not somebody that's got 2 or 3 years and somebody else is talking about his zakein. It's somebody that's got a little bit more chokmah than somebody else is considered to be a yoser b'chokmah. This deal only applies if he's muflat, yehuda maflig b'chokmah, yehuda maflig b'zigimah. He has to be exceedingly different than the other one. In other words, there needs to be a tremendous gap between the person who's the Zakein and the Chacham in order for us to say that we should be Halech Achar Chokmah and not after the Zikna, and vice versa. The Zakein has to die, this is 2 years older. He has to be in a different stage completely of Zikna and the other one, so then he's considered to be beyond the Chacham in the Beit HaMishpat. So in other words, if you have a Chacham that's Muflag the Chokmah, and you have a zakein mimenu at a party, you will certainly give the chacham the honor and not the zakein. In order to give the zakein the honor, the zakein too would have to be muflag with the zikin soul. Or we wouldn't compare him to the chacham. The same thing would be true if you have two of both of them would be muflagim. So there too we would have this interrelationship. But in a case where you have
by the way, there's also another element that we should mention, and that is, it is only if the zakein has some element of chokmah. I mean, if he's looked at as a total idiot, then it becomes a design for the Mechavi. It's not a design, he's a person that is reasonable to show respect to, even in this context. It's just obviously, if they were the same age, nobody would be looking at him, they'd be looking at the other one. So over there, the zikna is considered to be primary when it comes to a wedding or a ceremony of some kind. So a chacham would certainly be before him. If the zakein is muflar, and the chacham is just, chacham among others, or if we have a case in which neither of them are particularly muflagim, what do you do in such a case if neither of them are muflagim? The Rashbam suggests that zikna before chokhmah is always the wisest thing, for a very simple reason. You're not embarrassing anybody by being masabi the zikna. Because everybody understands, and he doesn't feel insulted with the chacham that you're doing. I mean, it's clear that this person is older than him, and therefore he understands that that's why he's being given the honor. Shankin, if you'll be Makabe as a youngster, some of the Brazilians, you're making a comment about something, about talent, about something you have to achieve, that's insulting already. So it's always best, if you don't have something that's clearly Muflat, it would always be best to go for the Zikna. And there's one lives up in the way that the Gemara says that the Mashma'ut is, that it's only because the Chacham is Muflat, but then we would be putting him before the Zakein. In any event, this seems to be a riot from Benot Tzmachat. Son of the Rabbi Shmuel, and from this we say it's no riot. The truth is that Benot Tzmachat Shkulot tell you. The point of the Tzitzikin is not that there were different orders, because there were different ways of looking at them in terms of the different context. They were essentially the same. And that's the point. Just like we find sometimes the Torah talks about Moshe the Aaron, and other times the Aaron of Moshe. The Talmud said Shkulot, in other words, that the difference between them specifically was not Muflag, that we should be able to distinguish in this area. So because of that, it changes the order as if to say it really doesn't matter how you put it.
But if that's the case, we certainly can't learn out Rav Ami's din, which according to Rav Ashi applies only where there's haflaga in one or the other, and you can't learn that out from the change of the context of the Benot Lafkad order, because that may just become something in the contrary, and you might as well just take it out of the hat. How do we know this? Because it says Vatihiyena. So Lashem Vatihiyena Matlatis Tavachol Glaun Yil Kavanu and so on. Instead of simply saying that Matlatis and so on married Bnei Dodeihem, Vatihiyena means Havaya Achat Kulam. That it's as if they all acted simultaneously. And therefore it's to tell us that the order over here is unimportant. Already you have a Shmuel, shocking ma'amar. The Not Slavkad were not limited in their choice of husbands. They were allowed to marry anyone. Despite the fact that the name Makir sued, and Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have agreed to their suit, and they were told that no, any Kovat Yoreshet Nachama has to be Yivnei Dodeihem. The Nashim comes along, Shmuel, and says, no, not true, they could marry anybody. What? Elaman, Yimekayim. So how then do I understand when the prophet continues, the Tovedeyem, the Yana Lanashim, that's all very nice, as long as it's Ach, Lemishpachat, Matariyem, the Yana Lanashim, but they surely marry their cousin. And that doesn't sound like they can marry anybody. Okay, just giving them a good answer. What was it, the fear? That since, under the circumstances, the most reasonable and correct thing to do is to marry somebody from the Shevet in order that everybody should be happy with it and so on. So if that's the case, the mitzvah to marry somebody only in Shevet apparently did not apply to that. No, that's what we're in the middle. Let's see. We'll have an end of it. Moshe Rabba, the Rabba asked, doesn't it say the Perush and more Alehem? Say to them, and then it says that it's Lodoro to him. So what? Why isn't the Amor Lahem? Wow. The Amor Lahem that appears over here by the what? Yeah. Like living in Queens. We know that the Lashon of Emor Aleihem that's found by the Mitzvah Shlutekut. So there it says Emor Aleihem the Dor Techem. It says both Emor Aleihem and the Dor Techem. That there it's talking about Tuma, and it says Kol Yishuv Yikrava Kodashim Tuma to Allah. And we darshan in the Brayt like this, that Emor Aleihem to them refers to Lotanom Dimahar Sinai. Lidorotechem refers to Dorotabatim. Fine. There the Brayta continues on. Im ne'amar avot lamanem ruvadim. Im ne'amar avim lamanem ruvadim. Why is it necessary to state separately Amar Aleihem Lidorotechem? Ah, mitzvei sheyesh avot nashen v'banim v'yesh v'banim nashen v'avot. There are mitzvot that apply only to the father generation, mothers can generate the first generation we're just speaking to, and there are mitzvot that apply only to later generations. So that, for instance, ba'avot omer, when it comes to the original generation, it says b'chol bat yoreshet nachala. So that was a mitzvah that only was nogea that generation, as we'll see later on. But when it comes to the banim, we find other things. Yesh b'banim, many, many mitzvot. Habe mitzvot yitzavu banim shol yitzavu avot. So all the mitzvot have to be yours by it. The original generation didn't come into it. So that means that hutzrach lomar avot, hutzrach lomar banim. since I might have made the mistake of believing that the mitzvot HaTorah were addressed either to some future generation or specifically to this generation as a model for all mitzvot, the mitzvot HaTumah was told to everyone very clearly. And now we understand that all mitzvot were said, unless otherwise indicated, both Lahem and Adol HaTechem. Fine, but meanwhile, doesn't it say, Kataninia, the Avot Hu Omer, the Chol Bat Yoreshet Matalon. However, here's Tanmat Mitzvot. It's comparing the Amor Lahem Adol HaTechem of the Mitzvah of Tuma to the Chiyav of marrying only into your family. I mean, what do you tell me, Eitz HaTovah? No, we're not talking about Eitz HaTovah. We're talking about the nature of mitzvot, and we're trying to find a model for mitzvot. You say, here's a model of a mitzvah, not an Eitz HaTovah, that was given only to one generation. So what are you telling me, that the B'nai Lavkad were really allowed to marry whoever they wished, and it was only an Eitz HaTovah? Whom motiv lavom afarekla? He has to question himself, Rabba, and he answered it himself, Levan, he's not Lavkad. But B'nai Lavkad were not included. Because since it introduces the tzivui to B'nai Lavkad, and it says, tell them, L'tov v'nehem t'yenon Rashi. Fine, that's one thing. Then comes the new chiyuv, Kol Bat Yoreshet Nachala. Anybody else besides B'nai Lavkad doesn't have this. For them, it's an Eitz HaTovah.
Why would it?
There's all types of discussion, but I think I know the answer. I don't think I knew the answer. I think the answer is clearly this. Since we found that the notes of Lachad are actually the model for Nachala, you cannot use the model of Nachala mixed with Lachad with those. In other words, you could say that I will give a particular mitzvah for this generation, but it can't apply to B'nai Lavkad because we already saw yesterday that they were zochot to be the paradigm of the nature of Yerusha Nachla. Every last limud is learned from the phraseology of the B'nai Lavkad incident. So that means that incident is used as a model. You can't make a model forever. You cannot make a model subject to the constraints of a particularity. That's the point. So the model has to work under any and all circumstances.
Well, it is not an
important. For them, it's still true that it was an important thing at the time. But when you're contrasting the universal vision with the specifics, that becomes an Eitz HaTovah. So the individuals that are living only at the time and they're not models, that Eitz HaTovah becomes a theism, which has important implications across the board. We find many things that the models of the Torah actually acted differently than the specifics of the Torah. Fine. Do you like that, John?
I think it's an excellent idea.
There's all kinds of children in the Rishonim. There were clusters, and there's no other than ones who brought it up.
It's
okay. Omar Mark. And let's get back now to the mitzvah. You said a vote to omer b'chol bat yoreshet nachala. Now, how do we know that is not a mitzvah to build up? Of course, we have to wait until after Tisha B'Av to get to Tu B'Av, which will be the next stop tomorrow. Talk about Tu B'Av, but we have to wait.
It's actually supposed to be Shabbos is about, but we're a little bit ahead.
So we know that one of the elements of the celebration of Tu B'Av was the fact that we figured out that the halakha of Kol Bat, the needing to marry into the family, was only limited to that generation. But how do we know that, essentially, is what the Gemara is asking over here? What tells us that it's not like any other mitzvah in the Torah? My mashma, or my rova, said rova, well, that's because it says in the prophet, Zehadavar asher tivash and v'not l'chad, l'mor, and so on. Zehadavar is a limitation. Whenever the Torah is discussing response to a very specific requirement, it's in terms of Zehadavar. It's something that needs to be done at this particular time, but it never is the way in which the Nidiyut, the Dorot, except in two places, which we'll discuss. In which the view of the Dorot is said, in fact, this becomes very central in the in understanding the distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Wait a second, how can you say such a thing? Elamiyata, Zehadavar, I mean, we have a very important Zehadavar where it says over there by Shkut Echut, Daber, El Aharon, El Banav, El Kolbani Yisrael, El Marfali, and Zehadavar. Zehadavar, Shkut Echut, El Hinami, El Yagnoid, El The door is there? You're telling me that the Din of Shkut Echut was said there? Very right. There wasn't really a Din of Shkut Echut. Except for the time that there was a outside bombard. So obviously Shkut Echut is not the Kaladara. No, Shane Hatam over there, the whole point is that it specified the Lord years before that it came with the Irim. And then it says, Chukat Olam Tiezot Lahem L'Doro Tehem. So the Mela, Doro Tehem. So the Mela, it cannot be understood as that generation if it says L'Doro Tam. All right, fine. I'll accept that. And not that I understand why it would say Zadavar, then. I mean, certainly it seems to imply that the word Zadavar does not mean that it's specific. Because otherwise, when I say Zadavar, then say L'Doro Tam. Fine, that will address. There's obviously some purpose. Some specific purpose of the Zadavar, which we'll have to figure out, but we'll do that in a moment. But first, I'm just bothered by the statement that Zadavar would be limited to. How about Zadavar Matos? Zadavar Doroshe Matos? Well, I mean, the whole introduction to the Parsha of Nedarim. Zadavar Shetiva Hashem, and then it tells all the gem of Nedarim. Isha Shay Yachli Lindar Nader. I mean, surely that's not a one generation thing. No. That we learn out Hafarat Darim with Xerishava. So we learn out Zeh Mihatan. We learn out Zeh Adavar by the Brosher Matot and the Darim. From Zeh Adavar that was said by Shkut Echut. By Shkut Echut, we'll see, we're going to need both of them out because otherwise it's ridiculous. Based on the Elite, that we'll see. And then the Lodorotam tells me that the Zadavar used under those circumstances was not limited to the time. Well, wait a minute, now wait a second. So then you say the same thing over here. Hainami label Zadavar. Says Zadavar by the Notes of Chai. Then let's use the Gzera Shava to tell me Zadavar is really the Dorabar. Just like we did it by Matos. Ah, come on, Hainami, that's ridiculous. Because what we're going to say Zadavar, and then we're going to need a Gzera Shava to tell me, well, I don't really need Zadavar. Come on. I mean, if there's a need to say Zadavar for some other purpose, which we need to ascertain now, and I'll show it to you, but Zadavar that's said by Matos and Zadavar that's said by Shkut Echut indeed is necessary. Having been said, it's also misleading. And so because it's misleading, to make me think that it applies only to that generation, we learn out the door of time to tell me that it doesn't apply only to that generation. But by the Notes of Chai, it didn't need to be said at all. But don't say that about it. Simply say, Emor El, the Notes of Chai, and that's it, yeah? Like any other review. So therefore, Haimai, Fishle, Mahasam, Eat, Shuk, Legzer, Shabbat. Over there, we have no choice. We've got to have the Gzer, Shabbat, because we need to say, Zadavar, we'll see. But also, over there, in this case, by Notzlav Kat, Lamayitrif, don't say Zadavar at all. Lishto Kronin, I just be quiet. Vaniyadana Lodorot. I'll know that I need the mitzvah to apply like any other mitzvah Lodorot. So you want to just confuse me by saying Zadavar, and then say, well, don't get too confused, because it also says Lodorotam, and I'll make it very sharp. That's absurd. But when you say we need it, why do you say that? My Gzera Shava, you're saying we need the Gzera Shava for what? To Tanya. The Gzera Shava itself teaches me two very important dinim that are learned from the comparison of these two dinim, from the Matos by the Dorim to the Halachos, which are called. What is that comparison? We'll see now in the back of the Tanya. Ne'emar kan zeh adavar, ne'emar lahalan zeh adavar. Now it says Zehadavar by the Rosh Hashanah. And it also says Zehadavar in the mitzvah of Shechut. Now, Malahalan, just like by the mitzvah of Shechut, Aaron, Lanav, the whole Yisrael, it says the Seirush there. When it says Zehadavar Shetiv Hashem, it introduces that by saying Daber al Aaron, the Lanav, Kol Bnei Yisrael. We are not calling him Zehadavar. So we have Aaron, Lanav, Kol Yisrael. So that teaches us, so far it doesn't seem to teach us a darn thing, but the Bryce is claiming it teaches us. I mean, later we're going to ask him, so what? But assuming that this is relevant, so it teaches us that just like over there, Mala Alam, just like a Shkut Echud, Aaron, Bana, before Yisrael are standing there, so Abkan, so too by the Rosh HaMatzot, Aaron, Bana, before Yisrael. Again, the significance of that is by no means evident, right? And furthermore, the other direction also teaches us something very important, namely, Makam Rosh HaMatzot, Avlalan Rosh HaMatzot. Also doesn't seem to be meaningful, but the Bryce is claiming that it's meaningful, and we're going to go back and discuss it. So we need the Gzereshavah to tell me that the people that were standing at the mitzvah of Shvut Echut, Aaron, Avana, before Yisrael, also have application to Hetter Nedarim. And we need Hetter Nedarim by Rosh HaMatzot to tell me that Rosh HaMatzot have application to Shvut Echut. What does that mean? But assuming it means something, we've answered our problem. As I need the Gzereshavah, because the Gzereshavah is coming to tell me a very important limud, one from the other. The point of the Gzereshavah wasn't initially to teach me that it's the Lower Kam. But since I need the Gzereshavah, now I also have the misleading problem. Comes along the Lower Kam to address the misleading element. But over here, I don't need the words out of our laws. I certainly don't need the Lower Kam. Therefore, there's no way to read Zadavar as meaning with the load, with all the time. Now we question, so what does this mean? It says the Gemara like, you've said, oh my mom, you said, Mal Halam, Aaron of another for Yisrael, Afkan Aaron of another for Yisrael. Well, who cares? But Lamar Yosef, I mean, what, does that have any application? Omer Vachapa Yaakov, of course. Lomar Shafar Adendarim, Mishwa Shahed Yotot. If you just read the parasha of Nedarim, it seems to be spoken specifically to Rosh HaMatzot, one of the most important people in the government, in the Beit Din. They're the ones that have the power to deal with Nedarim. Implication being that you can't simply go off to the street and call in three guys and say, how about if we do Atarat Nedarim? How can we do Atarat Nedarim? It says Rosh HaMatzot. Therefore, I ask, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. Not you, he's in big trouble. He's back on the head. So comes along now the din of the Aaron who run up before Yisrael to tell me, go outside, find Aaron. Can't find him, find his kids. Can't find him, he can find, go Yisrael, anybody. Bring him in and make yourself the bezdin and do out the rabbin Dorim. That's a big kiddush. Hi, what about the fact that it says, how can you say that? Doesn't it say, Bahal Rosh HaMatzot? Is it? But it does say Rosh HaMatzot. How can you use the Gzeres Shavah to undo the meaning of the pasuk? No. Shigam Rapisa explained it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. There are two separate halakhot of Hatarat Nedarim. One of them is the Akid Mumcheh. If you have a Rosh Matzeh, meaning someone who is on the guard there to be able to deal as an absolute expert with the native notion. Great, so then you can have Rosh HaMatzot, an individual. On the other hand, if you want the Heter and the Zeta to come to the Krach of Beit Din, then you can have anybody call you, sir. So there's two different halachos. Okay? A Mumcheh, a Yochid can do it. And a Hevyot, only three people can do it. Okay, the next thing you said was, Amamah, Ma'akan Rosh HaMatzot, Aplalan Rosh HaMatzot. To tell me that Rosh HaMatzot applied to Shkut Echut, that is weird. What does Rosh HaMatzot have to do with Shkut Echut? Ah, to tell me like this, on Rosh HaShem, Lomar Shigei She'elah, the Hegdesh. Because the Torah says somebody goes ahead and he checks the Bechut. with all the other things that are going on with it, mouth and so on.
So how about if the guy comes along after shucking his korban b'chutz, and he says, you know, I'm actually sorry I made that a korban in the first place. How about if we turn it back into Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it's okay to shuck the b'chutz? So can he actually be makir his neder and cancel all chiyuvim from the b'chutz retroactively? Comes along to Gzereshava of Rosh HaMatzot to say, yes, he can. And then it's possible to be sure on Agdash and said, had I known that, I never would have made it better. Just cancel, then you don't have to get into trouble. This would be the thing. Fine, whatever he says, any setup, whatever it is that he finds. Either as a petach or charota, the same way like any other neder. And it just comes to tell me that nidrei hegdesh are no different than the dorim in general. Just like a neder in general, I can change my mind. The power of the creation of kedusha on an item, which is nidrei hegdesh, is no different than my using the concept of kedusha to make some item ask on me. I say, have the hegdesh. Rest like any hesed is on, is retroactive. How did anything become hegdesh anyway? You mean a bechor? You know, I mean a bechor. I wouldn't have anything to do about it. Kodesh Mireka. But anything that becomes hegdesh through my speaking, through someone speaking, there's always a way out of. How do I know that? Only from Rosh HaMatzot. The turns out it's very significant. Halakhot learned in both directions here. So no gea nidor, either nidre hegdesh or son. From the Bar Dinah.
That's why the Zeh Adavar,
no, we'll see that there's elements actually in Zeh Adavar, which I'll explain to you really from the figure that's coming. You want to close the door for that? Thank you. Why are you leaving earlier every day? Why every day is it 30 seconds before the day before? Now, I want to know what's going to happen 2 months from now when you're going to leave before you're done. Have a wonderful day. You notice that's what happened to poor Moshe. He left before he came. His father's gone first, it was a minute before, then it was 2 minutes before, but he's having a now, yeah, great. What, did you come up? Have a long trip, I know. Yeah. No. Nidrei Hegdesh too. Comparing the two sugyas now to each other. Once we compare them, then both apply. Okay. So that's a fantastic, fantastic finish. Having said that, so now we have the Lagora come to avoid the misunderstanding that it was only La'osa Hador. So Loma Shiyeh Sheilada Hegdesh. Well, so how about according to Beit Shammai? According to Beit Shammai, well, it's Ein Sheilada Hegdesh. It's not Beit Shammai Omrim, Hegdesh Pa'ut Hegdesh. U Beit Hillel Omrim Eino Hegdesh. Now, I would like to use this opportunity to address a question that I'm sure has been torturing you all for quite some time. And that is, why do we always claim that Beit Shammai holds that Ein Sheilada Hegdesh? I knew it, and I felt that today was the day that we could discuss. Because there really is no marker to say that Beit Shammai in general holds that Ein Sheilada Hegdesh. The only marker that we have, the whole Masechta of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that we're referencing here, is the question of the Shor Lavan Sheyetei Mi Baiti Mishon, the Yata Shachor. The right to birth, obviously. There we have a machlokes Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. And the Gemara comes up and is talking about where Beit Shammai says it's hegdesh anyway, where he says, well, had I known that it was actually going to be the white shore that comes out first and not the black shore, but then I would have said it like that. And Beit Shammai says, okay, the bottom line is his intent was to make it hegdesh. This was a minor issue. It's obviously an error. He thought that, you know, the white shirt always gets out first. Okay, so there it's like, that means Ein Sheilada Hegdesh. I mean, how do you get from there to a general ruling of Ein Sheilada Hegdesh? I mean, in a case where a person makes a real mistake, had I known that, I never would have said it. So how can you say Ein Sheilada Hegdesh? And so
Rose Tosfos discusses this problem here, and I'm going to bring it up here. And he says, very interesting for us, that if according to Beit Shammai, the fact that somebody's makshava was innately to make tekshish, as he attests afterwards, despite the fact that what he said doesn't add up. So kol shekein is something that somebody says would be sufficient to make something hekdesh, although it runs against bunch of alays, which usually anyway are in the varim. So therefore, if he's willing to say that, then it's obvious that he holds ain shelav hekdesh. Because even when what he said was wrong, he's still willing to say there's a path that I can have. That's not those questions. But in any event, it's good to know that it certainly is not meant to follow logically one from the other to pashtut. Okay. But anyway, that was somewhat tangential. But assuming that according to Beit Shammai, Ein She'elah, by the way, that's what creates the Tosafot, you know. So the point of the Tosafot is uniquely to answer the kind of things that have been bothering you for a long time from other areas. The Tosafot, 90% of the Tosafot does not come to address the meaning of the Gemara. And what they set themselves out as a goal was to create a consistent vision of Shas as opposed to an explanation of a particular sugya, which is why they rarely talk about the Shas and the sugya, but agav, well, how does this work out with the whole thing? So somebody's learning this without an awareness of Shas. So, okay, fine, then they count my whole, so I'll accept it that they count my whole. But once you get to the point that you're bothered by something, then you want to know, and at that point, the Tosafot becomes absolute pure. This is very straightforward. That's why you will always ask those questions yourself. It's not meant as some type of supervision. It's simply, how is this consistent with everything else that you know? But when you don't know anything else, it's a heck of a waste of time to learn Tosafot. This is in general. So don't waste your time learning Tosafot. If you're bothered by the question, you'll always find it. All of the simple questions for the lack of consistency, but literally a 5-year-old would ask, tells us that. That's why when you learn with a child, you learn two figures. He'll always ask such a question if there's a question from that figure on this. They're obvious questions. Okay. No, that's what I'm saying. You need to know where to find it to get about it, and don't learn about it. If it's something that's bothering you, then the reading through the Tosafot takes exactly 30 seconds. You know those pages with the big, gigantic Tosafot on them, which they spend a week in yeshiva learning? It takes me literally 30 seconds to read those Tosafot. Not because I remember them, but because of all the issues. Of course, that problem. I understand that problem. Probably that's the answer. Already says that's the answer. And that's exactly the way you always do it. But if you aren't doing it that way, you've got to be crazy to sit there working through, like, well, he's breaking his head over. He's not breaking his head. He's trying to tell you the way that he's ready to do it. Nobody's meant to break their head on this level. There's much more fundamental things to break your head over. Right. So, continue. Now, according to Beit Shammai, what do we do with all of this? Because, I mean, he apparently, if he holds that Ein She'elah b'Hekdesh, and he holds Hekdesh ta'ut Hekdesh, because they can learn in the no Hekdesh, now obviously he cannot hold of this Hekdesh, of this Gzeirah Shavah, correct? There's no such thing as a halfway Gzeirah Shavah. I mean, if the Torah is telling me that Gzeirah Shavah means that there is She'elah b'Hekdesh, and that there is other things, whatever they are, then it also has to be the She'elah b'Hekdesh. The answer is only going in one direction to tell me that Aaron of Anah, the Holy Israel, are good for She'elah on Nidrei Kulin. It has to work in both directions. That's the rules of Gzeirah Shavah. You can't arbitrarily cut something out if you don't like it. So he obviously didn't have this Gzeirah Shavah. So and then we're back with our original problem. Does the Hadavah mean this generation or not? I mean, it doesn't mean it there. It says the Dorotam. So how does he understand the Hadavah? What is it coming to tell me? Hi, Zed, Zed. My argument, I mean, if he doesn't need it to tell me the Gzeirah Shavah, then why doesn't he use it to tell me that it's only in that generation? If he has a Dola Tam, then why did it say Gzeirah Shavah? Ah, he needs, in fact, both of them.
The Zehadavar Shutehut, and you tell me a fascinating description, that Ala Shofetu Kayav, Ve'eno Kayav, Ala Moleh, this is really wild. Somebody wants to bring an oath in the Beit HaMikdash. How does he bring that oath as a kosher person? He has to do the mitzvah. You can't check. You can't take a knife and check the bird. That makes it completely possible for a kosher. Must use his fingernail. And he goes from the back instead of from the front. Completely different system. Normally, in order to be chayav on shvutechus, you would have to do the avodah that you would be doing in the Beit HaMikdash, you're doing out of the Beit HaMikdash. You would have thought, okay, so that means if I take a burden and I do melika, b'chutz, so then I would be chayav. Comes along zehadavar to tell me, no, I mean what I'm saying. I share these vats zehadavar. Only somebody who uses shvita. Do not extend from your svara that melika should work b'chutz. So the melee, if you go ahead and you shech an oath of klutchim b'chutz, instead of being molate, there you would be chayav, and not if you're molate. It's really weird. Right? It's vice versa. Well, because what it's essentially saying is that shchita, that melika is shchita. It's a form of shchita. There, that's how we define shchita, and there, here, out of the Beit HaMikdash, this is how we define shchita. So that what would normally be a nevela becomes kosher in the Beit HaMikdash, what would normally be kosher becomes a nevela in the Beit HaMikdash. Fine, I understand, but the context defines not simply what you do, but overall the status of what was done, is what was done too. That this bird becomes now a kosher bird in this particular fashion. Yeah, that's weird. Take it out, it becomes a mirror image of what was happening there. Right? Yeah, exactly. Throw it in the garden.
He doesn't
think about food. No, he's not over. Because it's the same thing as chopping off the head of an animal with a hatchet. Are you over? Exactly. Now you know what's weird. That's exactly what's weird. Okay, so that's good for what it comes to tell me. Now, so how does Beit Hillel know this is they need that of art for the Gzereshav, huh? Fine, Beit Hillel knows it because we have another drush of Rambam brings in the Torah Tanim that learns it from Asher Yishchat. So the Dafka, Ashkita, Takayav, Alam, Lichat. Okay. And what about the Zehadavar that it says, Legabe Nidarim? The Zehadavar. Of Rosh Matot, that he needs to tell me be boiler, Lechacham Matir Vein Baal Matir, and Baal Meser Vein Chacham Meser. Very similar idea. That what cancels a neder when a husband is canceling a neder, which is called Hafara, will not work if a Chacham is canceling a neder, which is Hafara, because it's a totally different mechanism. Hafara is essentially, okay, I void this better, sorry, goodbye. I'm not interested in this. That's the Baal can say that. Mashain and the Chacham can only look back retroactively and say, well, suppose you had realized. So was that initial neder really a full commitment? I said, no, so then fine, we're over it from there. So that's now a retroactive akira. It's called Hataran, not Hafara. So yeah, the bar means this is the way it's got to be said. If the Chacham will say, move farther from, it's not going to work. Even though obviously he only means it as a borrowed term, it doesn't work. It has to be said in this fashion. So the Chacham has to be matir, the Baal has to be meiser, and never the twain shall meet. And how about according to the Kamai, the Lehu, is there a Shabbat? How does he know that there's a din of Aaron, one of the Chol Yisrael? How does he know that there's a din of Shloshah HaGiyotot? According to him, shall we indeed say that there's only a din of Yochid Mumcha, Barakarat Nazarim? So the Shloshah HaGiyotot, Mina Lehu, Matka Lehu, that he learns out in the Tanya. Vayidaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. From Yosef HaGalili Omer, Moadei Hashem Ne'amru. It only says Moadei Hashem. But it doesn't say anything about Shabbat. Shabbat Bereshit. So the Shabbat makes Bereshit, so it's there before the Moadei Hashem. Lo Nemru. Then Azay Omer. Moadei Hashem Nemru. Hafarat Nedarim Lo Nemru. This is a wild one. So now, it doesn't seem to make any sense at all. Now, Rav Yosef ben Nosson, having gone here, Yosef ben Nosson heard that right and asked, what in the world is that supposed to mean? So also fasted Rav Sheshet from Narada. He comes to Rav Sheshet to Narada, and Rav Sheshet wasn't home. Oh, was that a disappointment? Anyway, so he went on, you see. So also fasted Makhuzah, he went on to follow him, and they went on vacation. He followed him up to Makhuzah. Ashka, he found him there. Omalei, and he explained to him. He just said, what is this? My body, I come to him, Shabbos Bereshit Omema. Omalei, that means, in this parasha, it's not Hashem. What is it referring to? Bezdin, din of Mikroi Kodesh. You shall make it Kodesh. Moadei Hashem, tzichim kiddush beidin, Shabbat Bereshit, and that's the fact of kiddush beidin. There's no mitzvah to be Mekadesh the Shabbos. There's only a mitzvah of Bezdin to be Mekadesh the Kodesh. So there, indeed, Shabbat Bereshit is built into time. But the Moadim are dependent in the Kriya of Bezdin from the Sata. So Sakhavat, I mean, all the Khtimik Abimadal, Shimboy Kiddush Bezdin Kamad. I might think, since in the most unlikely way, Elam Moadei Hashem is followed by Sheshet Yamin, and what in the world? That doesn't appear under Elam Moadei Hashem. Therefore, comes along Elam Moadei Hashem, only the Moadim, not the Shabbat is discussed. But I would have thought since Shabbat occurs here, and maybe now, ex post facto, there's a halacha of Bezdin being involved as well in the Kedusha of time, that includes the Moed and the Shabbat. Hamash Moan, no, the Ela, not only the. And when you say Moadei Hashem, the way Ben Azar was learning, my Moadei Hashem Ne'emur HaPrat Nedarim Lo Ne'emra, and here's why I have to go this far, because this is a punchline. Moadei Hashem Tzrichim Mumchim HaPrat Nedarim Eina Tzrichim Mumchim. It's good for coming to tell me this halakha that we said over here to the Beit Din of Mumchim, that we're talking to Sanhedrin, that's only here, Eina. But not when it comes to Nedarim. Now tomorrow we'll ask the same questions. What about the Matot? What's the Yelkin Milk and so on? I don't want to take away all of the excitement. Maybe yes tomorrow. Maybe yes. Maybe we'll be Mekadosh Shavodosh. The last time we'll be meeting during this Kadencia about Yomi. How we define a Kadencia is already a different question. I don't want to agree with that. My nephew will be giving this up. Yvonne, where's your family from originally? How many generations? 40? Yeah. Do you know your vice president?
Yeah,
your father's side is Galicia, Turkey. You were conceived in Turkey, or you were conceived? Chicago, okay. And your mother?
And my mother was Russia, going back to
America. And but recently in USA, oh.
Yeah. Have a good trip.
You got the wedding, does that, Hashem?
I'm going to be here.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you very much. All right.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I hope not, you know. My mom's in the Barnea. He said he had something this morning, huh?
Yes, he told
us to that.
Have a good trip.
We'll be in touch. I hope we'll do that.
You should let me know, by the way, as I can buy this program while I'm in the States. So to test it out, and if you just press through, that would be great.
Thank you very much. Yes.